Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We're really glad you are with us today. We are talking this week on part two of CTE. CTE, we are with some really great people today talking about post-concussion and sub-concussion and other kinds of brain damage. And yes, it starts off talking about football issues and traumatic brain injuries, but we're really talking about other kinds of brain-based conditions that so many more people have than they realize. You know, I'm a big follower of Daniel Amen's Healing ADD and some of his other great works. I'm an affiliate of the Amen Center. And one of the things I really look at is how many people have brain damage. Anyways, you are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. I'm Dr. Scott Terry. On today, we've got a whole slew of people today. And we're just going to introduce two of them right now. A husband and wife team. So, introduce yourself. By the way, you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, archived on KRUU, and it's also archived a bunch of them on our YouTube channel at ardentcenter.com. And you could listen, go to YouTube and type in Ardent Center. And you could also email me, scott@ardentcenter.com. Ardent is A-R-D, as in dog, E-N-T as in Tom, scott@ardentcenter.com. Okay, Danielle. Good. Take it away.
Hello, I'm Danielle McWilliams. I am a graduate intern of Scott's. I am currently in school, and I will turn it over to my husband, Ryan.
Hello, this is Ryan McWilliams here. I work at a school and help out in several other areas and know quite a bit about sports.
That's a simple way to say what you do, I'd say. You do a whole lot more than help out.
He sure does.
You practically run the place. Okay. So, today, let's start with the whole football thing and then let's move into other dimensions of brain-based conditions that, like I said, with Eamon, it's really interesting. He says when he's doing an interview with somebody, he asks everybody five times, literally five times, Did you ever have a brain injury or a head injury? And everyone says no. And then he says, are you sure? And they say no. And he says, then I ask him again, are you sure? And then they go, oh, yeah, well, there was that one time I fell off the bike or my mom said that something happened. And it's kind of getting that it's so easy to have brain injury without us realizing this. So again, quick review, the brain is really hard, lots and lots of sharp ridges inside that brain, that skull of yours, and the brain literally is the consistency of butter, of soft butter, and it's in a liquid. And so it's really easy to slosh it around, and if you think about having something hard in a soft shell, right, or in a hard shell with liquid around it, you know, it's easy to create damage, you know.
An example of that, Scott, would be like for people to think of an egg.
Mm.
You know, if you crack an egg or if you throw an egg, it's going to break and everything inside is going to seep out and it's going to get ruined. And that shell, while it's there to protect what's inside, it doesn't necessarily protect the inside from becoming damaged or ruined.
Mm. And the egg is smooth inside as opposed to the skull, which is lots of sharp edges poking in.
Right.
So, okay. So, Ryan, take us back to some of the issues in football.
Well,
and this is, by the way, we're talking a week after, we're recording this a week after Super Bowl Sunday, 50th Super Bowl Sunday, the anniversary, right?
Yes. As we talked on part one, we talked about how in any given season of regular high school football season, the offensive linemen hit their head around 1,000 to 1,500 times in practice and games and doing different drills. So that was, a big thing that we talked about last week and how that can affect that brain that you talked about with those sharp edges in there. And especially at the age of development, For anyone under the age of 25, I think, is when the brain ceases to do most, or stops developing mostly. It's still got some going on after that, but 25, I believe, is the age where it really kind of slows down quite a bit. So we talked about how that continual hitting and doing damage to the brain is going to continue to hurt those student-athletes that are involved.
Excellent. And Danielle, why don't you just give us the thumbnail sketch, for instance, maybe even pulling up the CNN article that they published regarding CTE.
So one thing.
And by the way, pronounce what CTE is once again for those people who don't know.
So CTE is, it stands for, oh, and let me just pull it up here because I want to make sure that I say it correctly. chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And so CTE for short. And so what CTE is, it's a chronic, it's a progressive degenerative disease of the brain. And it's been found in athletes and others who have a history of repetitive brain trauma. So one thing to keep in mind, too, with CTE, it's not just about concussions. This goes beyond concussions. This is more about just the constant, the movement. You know, we talk about how the inside, the brain, it's like this liquid. So you think about this brain constantly being jostled around, especially in a sport like football. So that's
but it's
one
not
of the
only sport, by the way, that this happens. There's a lot of sports and a lot of things where this happens. I mean, you know, a one-time thing being in the car and you stomp on those brakes and you go forward. You might not go through the windshield. You might not crack your skull, but it's like you get dizzy for a second, like, whoa, right?
Right.
Or if you think about being on one of those carnival rides and you're going really fast and then it stops. You know, your brain's still sort of going forward. If you know anything about physics, you know, you're still moving, even though the body isn't. Part of you is still going forward.
And I think it's important, that's a good point to bring up, because it's important to mention that, like, even in sports like football or other, you know, places where people wear helmets, while they serve as a good way to protect, they're not the answer, and they're not going to save the brain from damage. You know, it can be like riding a bike and you fall and you hit your head, and even though you're wearing a helmet, there can still be some kind of brain injury there. And so that's one of the things too. Even in the CNN article, it talks about how harder helmets are not going to be the answer to prevent CTE, which also, just to kind of remind listeners that CTE, it can't be diagnosed until after somebody passes away. So, and then and another important thing to, as you mentioned, Scott, that to keep in mind about CTE is football players aren't the only ones that suffer from it. It's been seen in, you know, boxers or just even soccer players. You know, again, you think about how the head is jostled around. And I think a lot of things, too, especially with younger athletes, high schoolers, middle schoolers, you know, parents, we don't necessarily think about those consequences of, you know, we think of these sports and these things as healthy outlets, and they absolutely can be. And sometimes we kind of forget about the negative consequences that can happen, such as traumatic brain injury in a sport such as football.
Absolutely. And something I have certainly dealt with a lot is the more concussive elements of this, which really relates to like veterans who are having an IED or where the bomb goes off and the car shakes and you have that shaken baby syndrome, and then you really have permanent brain damage. And I say permanent, it is permanent unless you do something about it. So keep going, Danielle.
I was going to say, Ryan can share even just about how, you know, children getting concussions in school and kind of what those doctors are recommending even as well. So I'm going to pass this on to Ryan and let him share some examples.
There's been, in the last 6 months at our school, there's been several student athletes that have gotten concussions in volleyball, basketball as well as football. So it's just not concussions only in football. And also there was one girl got one at school. She accidentally had a collision with another student and was knocked over and hit her head and got a concussion just in our high school hallways one day after practice. So it happens everywhere. It can happen, like you said, whenever your head is hit hard enough, it can happen. But it really has affected some of the kids. Most of those kids were out for about a week of school, and then when they came back, they weren't allowed to work on the computers for about another 3 or 4 days after that.
Why not the computers?
Because it's really hard on their eyes, and their with the light sensitivity, really hurts their eyes and gives them those, could carry on the symptoms of the headaches and migraines that come with a concussion.
Fantastic.
Go ahead, Scott.
No. So I'm just wondering, so, you know, if one could sit there and be a defeatist and go, well, there's nothing we could do. And you would say what to something like that? Like, well, you know, accidents all the time happen. And I had a concussion, but I'm okay.
Right. But, I mean, and it's interesting, too, because I think that shows you, like, just the example that Ryan gave, how fragile the brain really is. And you've got these kids who are getting, they get concussions, and then doctors are recommending that they're out of school for a week and a half. And then on top of that, they're not allowed to come back and even stare at a computer screen. You know, in major sports like the NFL or professional sports, I mean, these players, they're being hit so hard. And even if they do have concussions, they're back playing, like, within that week. And so you think about all that constant damage to the brain and what that's doing and how it really just, it impacts. I mean, the brain is such a, it's like the most useful tool that we have in our body. And you've said it before, Scott, you know, if the brain is not working and if it's not functioning, then nothing else is going to work and nothing else matters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because if your brain doesn't work, who are you? Why, you know, and it's, you know, and again, it's really easy to get lost in, okay, bad things happen, and yes, you could survive, but how do we move past that? And I want to keep coming back to that is the end result, that there are ways to start healing the brain. And so we talk about things of how to get more blood flow to the brain, diet, exercise, meditation, supplements that are useful for your specific brain issue. You know, whatever it is, we start looking at, there are things we can do. If you don't get proper sleep, which means for everybody, I'm sorry, apart from an incredibly 0.01% of some population who doesn't need it, we all really need 7.5 to 9 hours of sleep. If you're getting more than 9 hours, there's probably something not going right. And if there's something less than that, there's, you know, your brain isn't going to fully regenerate. And so we always have to keep coming back to, what do we do next? That's always my big question to every client every time. Okay, got it. Let's really get what's happened. Now what? Because we can't go back and change anything. You know, dwelling on the past isn't going to get us anywhere. You just need to get what happened. I'm not saying to ever ignore it or mean denial. Get what was there, and then what do we create next? Okay, so back to the story of CTE.
Yes. And so I think it's just with the brain, you know, it's important to, there have been ways, and I think we briefly talked about this last week, but states have started implementing some more rules into creating safer practices for kids. And so I think I'll let Ryan kind of speak to some of those practices that I know that they've implemented at their school.
Well, it's actually at our school. It's also the whole state of Iowa has started limiting practice time and what can be done in practices. They've outlawed a lot of the main ways that concussions could be occurring during certain times if there's direct contact. In a lot of one-on-one drills, they've outlawed some of the certain drills that were seen as trying to make you tougher, but all it really did was give a lot of direct blows to somebody's head and increase their chances for concussions or those just those post-traumatic hits that even can cause the damage, CTE, that we've been talking about.
You know, Ryan, if you don't mind, I want to jump in here for a second. First of all, you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. And today we're talking about CTE and traumatic brain injury, but really looking at how do we recover from illness? How do we recover from damage? How do we recover in this bigger frame from what's going on? And one of the really interesting things you just said is this, I don't even know what word to say, misogynistic notion or this old school notion of, you know, let's make us tougher. You know, I'm a black belt in Kung Fu, and I remember that attitude, you know, in training. And I was in, you know, wrestling, not just in high school, but in college. And there was this attitude of be harder, be stronger, be a man kind of thing. And like, it's not only men don't cry, men, you know, beat themselves silly until it hurts. You know, men don't get depressed. So when men are depressed, what, you know, they're in denial about it and they're destructive. And so it's kind of getting out of these old notions of what we see ourselves as. So it's much bigger than football. I think it's a much larger notion, which is why, you know, it's so important to talk about.
Well, and I think too, Scott, with that, like, it brings up even not just with football, but like questioning kind of why we do the things we do. So if I'm an angry person and I don't have a healthy way to express my anger, is really going and playing football and tackling other people and getting my aggression out that way, is that a healthy way to really, you know, express my anger too? So I think it really brings up too the bigger question of why we do things. You know, why are we doing the things that we do? What's the reason behind it? And I, you know, if you're going into a sport because it's an aggressive sport and you're an aggressive person and you have all this anger that you need to get out, you're putting yourself probably at higher risk for more injury because you're going to hit harder, you're going to be faster at it, and you're going to want to be the best. And it just kind of creates this whole notion of, is that really the healthiest way to be handling things?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and what do you want as you guys are parents of two little children? What is it you want for your children? And what do you, and then as an individual, I say, what do I want for myself? So I love doing Kung Fu, and it was really helpful while I was working on my dissertation for my doctorate and starting on my second doctorate and my post and all that kind of fun stuff. And then it really helped me be grounded, and it really helped me integrate my mind and body, because I would start getting lost in my head and it would very much ground me and be healing. And Kung Fu is such a wonderful experience. But the other side of it, of hurting myself to make myself stronger, really misses the notion of what exercise is about. So just to review for everybody, when I talk about these kind of things like exercise or meditation or whatever it is, I'm not just talking about exercise for the sake of exercise. Yes, it gets blood flow to the brain, but it's really secondly about mind-body coordination, about really connecting the mind to the body, of associating as opposed to disassociating from your mind and body, so that you can really grow and you're aware of what you're experiencing, what your body needs. And then third, it's about really creating a choice. And the choice is, am I going to choose to grow and take control over my body and my life, regardless of what's ever going on in my life, regardless of what's going on in my head, I could come back to who I am choosing to be. Then I get into the larger things, because I can choose something, I can create power and control over my life, which is the central condition of all relationship problems. You know, I take responsibility for me, and I get that nobody takes my power and control away from me. So just like in Kung Fu, it was never about somebody defending myself from somebody hurting me. It's really getting my own sense of power and control of who I am. So it's really developing that. And then once you have that power and control, then you get to a larger sense of purpose in life. What am I doing with my power and control? Which leads me back, I don't know, for some people to spirit or to what you want to be in a larger sense. Okay, that's my long diatribe. So,
I love all of this, Scott, because I think, you know, in a sense, it brings us back to, you know, if the brain's not working. So, you know, if we bring it back to even this whole CTE, football, you know, whatever it is, but just the brain damage in general. Like, if the brain's not working, you can't think that way, you know. So I'm a runner. I love running, and for me, it's kind of like when I run, I can connect, like I can feel what's going on in my body while also realizing what's happening to my brain. And I think that, in a sense, that's great. But because if my brain wasn't functioning or if it didn't work, like say, for example, I decided to just do drugs or drink a lot of alcohol, I'm not going to get that connection, and I'm going to lose all sense. I'm going to lose control of myself.
Excellent. And also, though, because you're a runner, you're also able, again, to get that sense of what is my brain wanting, needing, growing, et cetera. You know, it's like it's not just the running itself.
Right.
And again, you could be in a wheelchair and be limited by your body in all kinds of ways. That doesn't mean that you get a pass. It means that we're all in a wheelchair, in a sense, as I've said. So what can I do? We all have limitations. Every single one of us has limitations, from age to illness to injury to circumstances of our lives. Every one of us. And so, yes, you played football, and maybe it was a glorious, wonderful thing for you that was so fun, but your brain isn't working as you'd like it to be now. So the question is, what am I creating for my life today? And I love, Ryan, how you're saying that the school is more aware and doing stuff to protect people. But I think it also needs to go the next stage. For you as a parent or you as an individual, what else can you do so that you're taking control of what's going on?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest thing is just getting information, gathering as much information as you can to make the good decisions and to continue to, I guess, watch your kids and talk with them about the choices they want to make and to try to keep, to make sure that they're, while they're not fully adults yet, they can try to understand what their choices and could have consequences in their future as they grow and as they move forward in their life and try to figure out what they ultimately makes them happy and what makes them at peace, whether it be running or doing anything else like that.
Excellent. So, guys, is there anything else you want to say about the football? So let's get back to the football thing and finish that. Is there anything else that you guys want, you think the audience should really know about this whole concept of CTE?
I think, you know, we're not, I think the whole, the big picture of it is, you know, we're not sitting here saying, like, no, don't go play football, it's terrible, it's awful, it's the worst thing for you. But I think it's just kind of a matter of getting the information out there and just making sure that people, they're educated about it. You know, there's a lot of things that we do in everyday life that are not safe, but it's really just being educated about the sport, about the dangers of it, and making the best decision that you can possibly make, while also understanding that children especially, they're in such a vulnerable place in that they're still very influenced and their brains are still just not fully developed, and keeping that in mind when, you know, they are getting into sports or they're starting to get older and make some of those choices for themselves.
Excellent. And I love how you say become better informed, and we all do dangerous things. I drove today in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seriously, it's more dangerous than flying in a plane. It doesn't mean I might not feel more fear flying in a plane, but the reality is driving in the car is probably more dangerous. And shoveling the driveway, if you're not healthy, sometimes could be dangerous. You know, things happen. But the point is, be informed and don't be in denial. If you're not in good shape, shovel the driveway, but shovel it slowly and get some help. You know, if you're not good in the snow, like my wife's, who's from Australia, you know, she's learned how to become better in the snow. And so it's like getting who we are and what we really want to create for our lives is what I keep coming back to. But back to the football thing, is there anything else, Ryan, that you think we should talk about?
There's just a lot of, you have to make a lot of decisions, for yourself and your kids and what you want their future to be like and how that would work out. Football-wise, it's a great sport to play. I played it growing up, and I continued on in college, and it was really an enjoyable thing to do. But I think back to all those times, and I was never diagnosed with a concussion, but I think of all the times and reading a little bit more about concussions today and how even if you see stars or whatever they are, you see that I would see white spots a lot, and it would be a little foggy. Even those things could be minor concussions, or those would be the big, contact talk about where you would do that damage, or your brain shakes around and it gets discombobulated for a minute or two before it's able to focus back in and try to repair the damage that was done.
Excellent. So I just want to finish up one last study here. This is from Daniel Amen. And he cites playing football at any level can cause long-term brain damage. In 2001, him and his colleagues published the first and largest brain imaging study of over 100 active and retired NFL football players, 2017 positions in all. Over 90% of them showed clear evidence of a TBI or traumatic brain injury on two different types of studies. Both the SPEC studies, which is a single photon emission commuter technology, and we'll talk about that some other time, which elevates blood flow patterns and EEG patterns. And there was a consistent damage to the brain's prefrontal cortex. By the way, same area that's hit with ADD and other areas. Prefrontal cortex really deals with judgment, planning, forethought, and impulse control. Also, temporal lobes, which addresses learning, memory, and mood stability, and cerebellum, which addresses mental agility and processing speed. Our group, so they're recording these problems, but of course, there's the famous studies from Boston University, which showed CTE in 79% of players who played football at any level. Anyways, that's the final study that I want to bring out, just a little bit of details. And I want to thank you guys for thinking about it in a bigger picture, because I really think that's the way to go with this. You know, to really think about what else do we want to do with our brains at any level, regardless. And to not think about this is bad or this is good, but simply being informed to go, what do I want to create for my life today going forward? And making my life as great as I can for me and everyone around me. Anything else you guys want to say to close out?
No, thank you very much.
Well, thank you guys. Both of you guys are absolutely wonderful. And have a great week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.